Blog Talk Radio.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in today with Faith Under Construction, brought to you by the Elam Network, where our founder is Pastor Harold Smith. We're getting ready to get started. We'll be back with you in a few minutes.
I know it's been hard. I know you've been hurt. But it's going to be all right, y'all. Because God says so. Let's go.
Good morning. We have to learn how to get up with faith every day. And that was Get Up With Faith Every Day by Brother Tony Lee. We're here on the Faith Under Construction, getting ready to get into our topic of this morning. For anybody that's listening, all our viewers, if you want to dial in, the number is 1-657-383-0510. And if you want to talk, you just dial 1 and you'll be tapped in to speak with me. Well, we're talking increase my faith this morning. Increase my faith. We spoke before. We talked about the importance of faith and what was faith, Hebrews 11 and 1, and how we ought to and what we ought to put our faith in. We talked about not shipwrecking the faith. And so today we're talking about how we can increase our faith. It's very important to know that we need faith every day of our life. It takes faith to make the impossible possible. It makes it possible, but what? Not easy. So we're going to be talking out of the book of Luke, chapter 17. And I just have a few points, and we'll open up for conversation and just encouraging to uplift. And I what 4 points in this 30-minute that we want to talk about. So we're in Luke. If those of you have your Bibles, if those of you have a pen, want to write it down. We're coming from Luke chapter 17. We're going to start at verse 1. It reads, "And then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible, but the offense will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hang about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times, in a day, and 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou forgive him. verse 5, where we're going to stop. And the disciples said unto him, unto the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Well, this is where we're picking our topic from, verse 5. Increase our faith. We need my faith to be increased. I need my faith to be increased. You need your faith to be increased. And the thing about it is, we hear that, we just read it, and some people are saying to themselves, seven times a day, what does that mean? Why should I forgive people? You know, you forgiving and all this kind of stuff, that's what they always talk about. No, listen, you forgive people, it doesn't mean that you forget. You forgive them, and not, I was going to say, oh no, you gotta forget, because if you remember, that's just holding on to it. No, it's not, my dear. When you were small, or if you ever was grown and was cooking and touched the hot stove and forgot that stove was on, you turned it off and forgot it was still hot. You remembered to be careful around that stove. It's that I ain't hear you say you never use the stove again. You use it again, but you're more cautious around it because you know it's not something to be played with because it can hurt you. And so this is how we have to be with people. People show us a pattern of themselves. It's not that we don't love them or we treat them any different. We just understand that, listen, this person may have a problem that they have not come to grips with, haven't conquered yet. And so we don't throw them away, but we have to handle them in a certain manner because we understand that they're dangerous. Or this scenario can be dangerous to my life. And so we're asking God to increase my faith to forgive them and still work with them, knowing that they can be toxic. So here it is. Here's my first point. We need faith to forgive. When people sin repeatedly, giving up on them is easy. I just told you that. It's easy. You know, just like the stove. You can throw that stove away and say, oh, it was the stove's fault. You know, no, it's not the stove's fault. The stove is a stove. You know, it's an old saying. The woman was out hiking, and she saw a snake. Snake was looking weak. Snake was looking messed up. She took the snake in the high house, nursed the snake up, make the snake feel comfortable. She decided she was going to curl up around the snake and go to sleep, woke up with the snake and thought everything was okay. She went to go feed the snake and pat the snake. The snake bit her. She looked at the snake and said, why would you bit me after I did all this work for you? He said, I'm a snake. This is what snakes do. So in other words, you can't be mad at something for being who they are. You just have to learn how to work with them, have the faith to be able to handle people in the area of their ignorance and not disown them. You have to be able to forgive them even though they have scenarios that are not conducive to your life. You have to be able to work with them. You have to be able to love on them and treat them no different. Only you have to remember is that, listen, they have an issue, and because of their issue, I have to forgive them, but I have to handle them like they have a problem because I can damage myself. So we have to have faith to forgive. You cannot throw them away. We have to have faith to forgive them and trust God to work in their lives. We must be stepping stones and not stumbling blocks against our brothers and sisters. And this is what happens in the faith. You see people, they learn something about somebody, and instead of having the faith to say, I forgive you, I understand, we've all been somewhere where we were doing something we had no business doing, and somebody had enough faith in us and in themselves and in God to work with us with our problem. They became a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. A stumbling block is keep throwing up my business and keep telling me what I did wrong and not helping me get it right. And it is a lot of work. But guess what? Nothing in life is easy. Life is not a scenario of black and white sceneries or events. Life is walking across the Grand Canyon with a tightrope, with a balancing pole, hoping that the wind don't blow you down, and knowing that anything can happen. That's what life is. And so you have to have enough faith in your fellow man and in God to help you work with the people that you know have the worst conditions. Number two, my second point. We have to ask God to help us increase our faith to serve. This is an area that most of us neglect because we feel like, you know, I made it. I'm going places. Talking about pastors, talking about preachers, talking about any of the fivefold ministries. And some people that's not even in the ministry, they get this head about them when they feel like they arrived or gone somewhere. They forget that the Bible said, Jesus told his disciples, he said, any man be great among you, let him be a servant. Let him serve. So it takes faith to do your duty. Whether it's tending in the field, whether it's preparing a sermon, whether it's greeting people at the door, it takes faith to do your job. Because why? Sometimes you don't even know if your job is being appreciated. Sometimes you don't even know if your position is being thought about, or am I being effective? But you have to have faith in the work that you sign up to do and do it well. It takes faith to do the extraordinary, like moving mountains. It takes faith to do things that people say, that ain't going to work. That everybody laughing at you. I watched the video, and the brother said, listen, he said, people going to laugh at you whether you're rich, they're going to laugh at you whether you're poor. I'd rather them laugh at me when I'm rich than when I'm poor. In other words, you can't be concerned what people going to say or what people going to think. You got to get up and do something. You got to move. Keep it moving. I also heard him say in that same video, you got to be like Dory from Finding Nemo. Just keep swimming. In other words, I have to have faith to do my task. Sometimes my task seems like it's insignificant. Sometimes my task don't seem like it's affecting anything. But I have to keep moving. I have to have faith, increase my faith in doing my service, what I dedicated my hands to do. Amen? Well, while we have a little time on the clock still, I want to just give a little shout out to our sponsors. First off, we want to shout out to the Elam Network, which is sponsoring Faith Under Construction. Also to the St. James Church of God, founded by Jesus Christ, 820 McDonough Street, Brooklyn, New York, 11233. And to CEO Dez.DreamTrips.com. And to Say It on the Shirt, Just for You, by COTLG.com. We want to thank God for our sponsors. We want to thank God for everyone that is helping us push Faith Under Construction. We want to thank God for you, Mother used to say, and especially you. At this time, if we have any calls, I ask you to push in and dial in, and we'll take calls at this time. Well, all right. Seems like we had a little flip, but it's all good. So we're going to move on to our third point. We have to have faith. This is a big one. We have to have faith to pray. We have to have faith to pray. We're asking God to increase our faith and our prayer life. In St. Chapter St. Luke chapter 17, there were 10 men. They believed Jesus could help them. And he did. They had to have faith in their prayer life to believe that God would hear them, and not only hear them, but then answer them. He answers us. He could have kept on moving. So many things could have happened in their thought pattern where they thought Christ wasn't going to hear them. Some of us are like that. I'm so much into sin. I messed up so much that God can possibly hear me. God couldn't possibly reach to me. I don't go to church every Sunday. I don't do this. I'm not the best Christian. God is not looking for the best. God is looking for the faithful. God is looking for the broken. He's looking for the sick. He said, I come to those that are in need of a physician, not those that are well. I come looking for those that need a doctor. And so here it is. You are in that need. And the devil will come and try to tell you, ah, man, you're too far gone. But no, we need faith in our prayer life. Faith to pray. Faith that we have reached God no matter what our circumstance. Because guess what? God said, I want you. I came for you. And it's in the awakening of that revelation that he really came for me that it'll push me out of my sin, push me out of my circumstance, and help me to ask for forgiveness, ask for repentance, and to change my life around. Because now my thinking is being renewed. Jesus helped them. The Samaritan not only brought joy to Christ's heart, but received salvation from his hand. Your faith has saved you. That's what Jesus told him. When God answers your prayers, be sure to tell him thank you. That's what we mess up a lot of times too. We get exactly what we need from God, and we never turn around and say thank you. We actually take away his glory and take away his honor by saying, if it wasn't for my job. Ooh, if it wasn't for you, brother, if it wasn't for my mother, if it wasn't for this person, I would never, not realizing that it was the God in that person. For the Bible said, he had blessed man to bless you. So our blessings are coming through people, yes. But realize that it was their obedience to God, what God sanctioned. So thank the God in them. We're not telling you not to give the person credit or tell them, you know, thank you. Make sure you realize that it was God that worked on their behalf so they can work on your behalf. So we need faith to forgive, faith to serve, and faith to pray. This is very important things for us to have in our faith to be increased. We need faith every day. For like I said in my opener, faith makes things possible that easy. So those are our three things. Here's the last point. We need our faith to be increased, to be ready when it comes. The important thing is not to be set a date, but to be ready when he comes for the true faith leaders to faithfully look around at the necessities and the increase of sin that's around us. Have the faith to be ready when God comes, not when he comes back to take us to heaven. No. When he comes into your life to challenge you, to offer you the opportunity to be his voice, to be ready for the challenge, to be ready for the job, to be ready for the task, because he's coming to us. Every day he's coming to us, challenging us, talking to us, because he knows what he put in us. The Bible said, many are called, but few are chosen. And see, he calls everybody, but not everybody answers the call. The difference between, I heard a preacher say, the difference between the call and the chosen is the ones that answer the phone. I come to submit to you that he's coming, not only coming to bring us back unto himself, but he's coming to us every day, knocking at the door of our heart, knocking at our mind and our integrity to say, listen, I need a voice. Because God doesn't do anything in the earth without human participation. He set it up that way. He made it that way from the beginning. The Bible says he made the heavens and the earth, did all those things. Then he made man. And then he said, man, you have dominion over all the things on the earth, the creeping things, the things in the ocean, the things in the air. And he said, guess what? Because I gave you this authority, now I'm going to bring all my creations before you, and you're going to name it. And so Adam answered that challenge. He took God for what he said. Of course, he slipped up. We know he messed up, but taking up part of the fruit of the tree that he had no business taking part. But the thing is, I never seen any of the work he did was degraded. All the work he did was still standing today. And so we got to understand that we need faith to be ready when God comes. We need to be ready when he comes to us. And he says to you, I'm looking for a voice. I'm looking for a body to be in the land, to wake up my people, to come out of their sin, turn from their wicked ways and look unto me. We have to be ready. We have to forgive. And I want to say this about forgiveness. Forgiveness and redemption are two different things. Let's clear that up. I forgive you, but the redemption is not on me. The redemption is on you. For all I can do is say, all right, we can start over. But you, the person that brung the offense, have to be consistent in the area you offended me. In other words, if you lied to me and you asked for my forgiveness and I say I forgive you, you then now have to show yourself trustworthy because you want to redeem yourself from lying. So now you're not going to lie no more. You're going to show me by your actions how you are redeeming yourself because I can't redeem you because I didn't bring the offense. So forgiveness and redemption are two different topics. We're talking about faith to look at somebody and see all the mess they've done and know it and say, you know what, I forgive you, not because I have to. I know I'm just one mess up away from being where you are. For the Bible said we all fall short. All are fall short. So we all need to stay increased every day. We all need to stay prayed up every day. Because if not, the Bible said, we just read over here in Luke, where it said, take heed to what? Yourself. Verse number 3. Take heed to yourself. Before you get to your brother, before you get to anybody else, take heed to yourself. Jesus said like this, how can you take out the beam from your brother eye when there's a mote in yours? Be so fast to find fault in everybody, but we need to be able to have faith to forgive, faith to serve, faith to pray. So he said, when you pray, pray on this, for our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those, listen to that, as we forgive those that trespass against us. There's a portion of scripture that says you can't, your prayers won't even leave the earth if you have malice in your heart. It'd be too heavy. So we have to learn how to forgive. We have to learn how to serve. We have to learn how to pray. And we sure enough know how to have faith to be ready. Because God, once you, the Bible said, my people suffer for a lack of knowledge. Once you learn better, you do better. And so now that we're being taught, and now that the revelation is coming down, God is going to be coming to us to ask of our assistance. And in the world term, challenge us to see if we're going to do what we say we were going to do or we're going to find an excuse to opt out of what we said we're going to do. God is looking for us to be faithful. God is looking to give us power for our faith to be increased in him. Here it is in my little last closing statement to you all. St. John's chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. It says, I'm just going to read this one verse. On the third day, the wedding took place at Canaan in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Jesus responds, dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not come. His mother said to them, to the servants, do whatever he tells you. That's where I'm going to stop. I want to just say this. What I just read is powerful. We're talking about increasing our faith. You have to have faith, even when Christ, look what he told him. He said, my time hasn't come. She didn't even fret that. She told him, after she brought the problem to Jesus, she didn't even worry about him saying it's not his time yet. She stepped out on faith and said, whatever he tells you to do, that's what you do. And that was the end of it for her. And then Jesus stepped up because he reacts to our faith. To our faith. You have to have faith when it seems like all the odds are stacked against you. How many more odds can be stacked against you when Jesus tells you it's not my time? My time hasn't come yet. She said, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood six stones, water jars, and kind of used by the Jews for ceremony, washing, each holding from the 23 gallons. And Jesus said unto the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them, told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into what? Wine. Everybody know that. Everybody know the story. So what I'm saying to you, it doesn't matter the obstacle. God said, I'm speaking to you so your faith can be increased. I gave you my word so that it can build up your confidence in me, that you can take me at my word, just like their servants did in John. Even when it wasn't his time, even when it looked like it wasn't going to get done, they came to Jesus with their mind made up. They listened to the woman of God, his mother, do whatever he tell you to do. And it got done. I want to thank you for listening. I don't know what happened to our calling, dial-in box. We bless God anyway. And remember, get up with faith every day. Let God show you the way. You be blessed. In my closing, don't let the hearse bring you to church. Come while you can. God bless you.
I know it's been hard. I know you've been hurt. But it's going to be all right, y'all. Because God says so. Let's go. Yeah.